Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, snazzy heads. Welcome to the first of these new, slicker-sounding and just all-round better, actually, Hooverings. To relaunch things off with a bang, I'm talking to an absolute superstar, host, no less, of Late Night MASH. It's my friend, megastar comedian, Rachel Paris. Before we get into it, I want to thank you for listening. That's it, really. Thanks for doing it, and please keep doing it. Things are on the absolute up and up over here. We've got some of the funniest, most heart-filled, fascinating guests ever coming your way over the future months. If you could tell other people about Hoovering, subscribe to it and give it a 5-star review, I'll love you forever, which is quite a good deal, actually, I'd say. We've got new ways of you getting in touch with me. You can email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com, and now you can text or WhatsApp, voice note me. Our number, our phone number, is 07462855271. Message me all your eating achievements and failures, please. I'd love that. And keep an eye on social media. I'm going to be asking for feedback on specific questions and topics from you guys. And if you're lucky, your offerings will be mentioned on future podcasts. Exciting, please. If you've stuck with me on Patreon, even through these uncertain times, I am deeply grateful. So much so that I've just packed the tiers fuller than they have ever been before with goodies. For example, from as little as a few quid a month, you can get a load of exclusive content. If you're interested in joining that gang, please do check it out. Patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Finally, I am on tour. My stand-up show, Wench, is in its last weeks of a mighty mega tour. My last dates, starting with tonight, that's the 4th of November, are in Portsmouth, Guildford, Bristol, Glasgow, Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Brighton, Salisbury and Colchester. I'm keen as a sausage to have you at any of those dates that aren't sold out. Come, please. Tickets available via my website, jessicafostercue.com. Right, let's hoover. Rachel and I met for lunch in a really glorious Japanese restaurant in Balham called Taro. There is the odd bit of background noise, what with it being a restaurant, it was packed with families having lunch, but worry not, we drown most of that out with our excitement about the feast. And we started with some interesting drinks. Yeah. It's a Japanese lemonade.
Oh.
And I watched Rudy have one in Edinburgh, but it was a fancy flavour. And I think it isn't, I don't think it's, what's the word? I don't think it's fizzy until this marble drops down inside it.
Oh,
and I think you have to, do you push it in or do you just turn it?
I'm so excited.
I'm scared. I might have to ask for instructions. I'm asking a grown up.
Look at this.
Oh. Precautions. That's in French. The product design prevents the marble escaping. Do not attempt to remove it.
How do you get it in the
drink? Yeah, how do you get the... I'm so sorry, I just need an idiot's guide to how to get this drink open up and make the bubble go down.
Right, there was a grid something with it.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah,
right.
You used that. Yeah. Oh! And then you push that down onto there.
You have to just push it from the ring first.
Okay, so like first.
Oh. Then you push it.
Here it is.
It's so exciting.
This is at home. It's going fizzy now.
Wow. There's a marble in my drink. There's a marble in my drink. She's small, but she's...
Now, this is all I'm going to drink in life. Is marble
lemonade. Wow, it's sweet. It's that's my sweet lemonade. Oh yeah, in every sense.
At first you were making a face of that hipster spot.
No,
now I'm like, that's a lot.
Saccharin, yeah, that's saccharin. I'm going to pour it in here and hope that ice dilutes some of the... Oh no, it's not built for pouring. That marble gets in the way. I'm keeping this glass as a souvenir forever.
What's the marble made of?
It sounds like glass. Oh, so is it plastic or glass? It's a classic marble. Ooh, I've accidentally fizzed the whole twat up.
Chemical reaction.
Yeah. What's happened?
Minds are blown already.
Yeah, I know.
Can I have tempura prawns?
Yes, you bloody can.
Thanks.
Have whatever you like.
I'm one of those people who likes buffets or a meal of starters.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I love it and know what you mean. I'm one of those people who likes that, but just over-ordering generally.
Yeah, I have been known to, like, you know, like in a gastro club, like the classic gastro menu, I'll have, like halloumi bites and chicken liver pate on toast.
Yeah.
And, like, basuk. like three starters, and then I'm full.
Yeah.
And it's
perfect.
It's
the way to do it. Yeah, I did. If I was allowed double starter instead of pud, I'd take that option any day. God, you can get brown rice green tea. I'm gonna try that. I learnt recently that if you... Do you like coffee?
Yeah, I do.
Me too. But if you don't like coffee, to get the most polyphenols from your tea, you should have green tea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it tastes bad, in my opinion.
Green tea does?
Yeah.
Is it a case of leaving the bag in too long?
Probably.
Is it go a bit like, what's... Oh, you're going to learn quite quickly, but for someone with this podcast, I've got an embarrassingly narrow vocabulary when it comes to describing tastes. I'm just going to say it tastes a bit... Is it tanniny?
It's like, yeah, it's tanniny. It's dry. It's
dry. Dry. No, it's liquid. It tastes dry.
Yeah.
You've nailed it.
Yeah. There's a powdery element to it, which I don't like. I like, you know, your lemon and ginger.
Mm.
Fine. Chamomile.
Yeah.
I'm all right with. But the green ones, it tastes like water gone wrong.
Yeah.
But I know some people are really into it, and good for you.
I wouldn't say really into it, but when it... What I'm excited about, the one that says brown rice, is I think it might taste of popcorn. I think I might have had it once before.
Nice. I like those flavours.
Yeah.
There's something called... They serve it at Milk, which is a cafe near here. Black lime horchata.
Ooh.
Which is a rice drink, but they put a little bang on top, so you get like this. It's really nice. It's a creamy, creamy sweet drink, and then you've got this really sharp bit taste on the top.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nice.
Oh, I like anything like that, especially toasty flavours like that, like smoky, toasty business. Yeah. Yum in my tum.
Right, well, we will talk about what we're eating when we're eating
it. When we're eating it.
But first, I'll ask you other things.
That's how you begin asking questions. You go, ready? Have you ever had to eat anything memorable as part of work?
What happened though, I didn't prepare for this, but I have the perfect answer, which is I had to do a commercial casting.
Yeah.
And
you had to eat in the casting?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
And get this, it's such a good example of like the mistreatment of performers being asked to do terrible things. Yeah, yeah. So it was for some kind of like health product, like gut health or something like that. I can't remember if it was a yogurt or something like that. But the concept of the advert was you shouldn't have to work this hard to be gut healthy. And the men, when they were just auditioning for it, had to down 6 raw eggs.
What?
And the women had to eat quickly and a whole massive bowl of raw kale just for the audition. And they were... Can we swear?
Yeah.
They were arseholes. They were real arseholes.
I was expecting the worst one after that. Check in.
They were like really enjoying the power of it, and I started eating it and they were like, it's got to be much quicker than that, you've got to eat it much quicker, and I was gagging. It was so disgusting, like raw kale is so gross,
it's got such spiky leaves.
Because they're basically like, if you didn't finish the bowl you were quitting the audition essentially, and because they were like,
it's like the Hunger Games.
I know,
what is this?
And to be fair to them, I suppose if this is the concept, but don't have this is the concept of your advert, but like I suppose if the concept is you're going to have to do this for the job, so we need to make sure you are capable of doing it.
Yeah.
But
well, that needs to be on the brief, I think, before you even get it. It's like, for this, we're
really
going to need someone who is... Yeah, it would. I think way less people are going to put their hand up and be like, yeah, do you know what, on the off chance of maybe getting a job, I'm going to put myself through an entire bowl at speed of raw kale.
Yeah, so, like, think about it, like, 40 actors in central London that day, 86 raw eggs.
Oh, that's going to make some people instantly sick, isn't
it?
It did, yeah. Oh, my God, that's the most extreme answer anyone's ever given. I love it. It's made me love it. Were you all right?
It's an actual audition. I was all right.
Obviously, I do want to know if you got the job. Did you get the job?
I never used to get adverts. I always wanted them, obviously, for the money.
Yeah.
And I never... The only one I ever got was Baptiste.
Oh, lovely, the old spray-on shampoo.
Yeah, which I do.
I live by. I only really discovered it recently, and it's changed my life.
Yeah,
Edinburgh. It was in Edinburgh at the Fringe, and I was like, why have I been washing my hair so often?
I know.
Also, I'm an old lady now, so when I wash my hair, loads of it falls out. That's not the thing to talk about in an Eastern podcast. But, like, it all, like, you know, too much of it molts away. When I wash it now, I can wash it way less, so I can just spray it with... I remember Caroline Maybe once hitting the nail on the head. It smells of new taxis. Baptiste. It smells of a fresh new car or a taxi.
It is, in the scheme of things, fine.
Yeah.
It's a smell you're fine with.
Yeah.
Given the alternative.
Clean, fresh, clinical. Yeah, lovely.
I got onto Baptiste.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think...
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. I went to it years ago, you know. I think it's because I'm blonde. I could get away with, like, before it was good.
Yeah.
I think before it had the brand Baptiste on it. Before that, I honestly used to put talc in my hair. On a bad day, in a rush.
It's pretty much the same thing.
It's the same stuff.
I think it might be the same stuff. Element. Yeah, it's just it's solid rather
it
than
honestly worked just
gas.
As well. I think I feel like I used cornflour once, and that's not a good idea.
I mean, cornflour's revolutionised frying tofu at home for me, but I've never thought
used
to
it
use
in
it.
Your hair.
Yeah,
something to think about, and then stop thinking about it.
Think about, but. Don't action the thought. I'm thinking clumps.
Clumpy. I can't now remember why I was so reluctant to wash my hair.
Yeah.
But I must have been. I don't
know. Oh, so claggy clumps.
Yeah.
I love it. Talc's a great one. Talc's a great idea.
It's a good shout because it is separating.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. I only sort of rediscovered talc as an adult recently. I thought of it as a childhood dust.
It's one of the childhood dusts.
Yeah, it smells of babies and it's a childhood dust. But Oh, it's really lovely to slather a bit on after a shower, isn't it?
Do
even
you know
as
what?
A great.
I haven't actually, done it recently, and I'm going to give it a
go. Because actually, I think if anything, I'm gravelier of skin and than I was as a child, and I need it more than ever. Yeah, fabulous. Oh, that's the best answer ever in terms of eating in the theatre as well. Because you should travel a lot for work, like me. Do you? Have you ever eaten anything interesting in transit?
Good question.
It makes me think of times I've fucked up, I think, where I've tried to take something too nice. You get so sick of having handheld food. It's something you can sort of fist into your mouth.
That
it's trying to sort
like,
of consume a liquid with a spoon whilst driving is the terrible errors I've made.
I still can't drive.
Okay,
and I
good
started
for you.
Having lessons a year ago. And then, you know, there's a thing you can't get a driving test in.
No. Yeah, you've got to book it before you've had one lesson. Because
you can't even tell why. Like, not a stupid food question, I'll come back to it. But like, so I've now finally, for 4 months, I've been trying to book any driving test, any amount into the future.
Right.
And they've only just opened up 2023, so now I've got one in February.
Oh, wow!
And I can't wait, because I've done my entire, like, all the years up to now touring
on
trains, carrying a keyboard.
Yeah. Like, of course.
So it's slightly different, because you can eat on a train, but it's the same, which is you're looking for food that you'll probably still want to eat when it's. Like a bit squashed, and not in a nice environment.
Yeah, totally.
So actually, sushi, weirdly, even though you want sushi cold, is quite good because on a train, there's an element of freshness about it, which you want on a warm, horrible train journey. It's like, this feels like quite healthy and good.
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't smell. I think that's key on trains.
Yeah.
I had a prawn. Bang bang poke bowl on a train last night, and it was on. I'd saved it because I had a fridge in my dressing room for the train home, because I thought, lovely, nice quiet train home. No, not when there's a train strike the following day. Absolutely rammed. I still belligerently ate it up, even though I was absolutely hemmed into a corner by strangers.
Nice. I love it when you get exactly the right thing on tour sometimes, and the time when that's I think probably the food that I most adhere to in terms of location is if I go and do somewhere by the seaside, I make a point of getting good fish and chips.
Yeah.
But I have got that rock. Where did I go? Southend. I got absolutely right.
Yeah.
Found, I can't remember the name of the place, but somewhere right near the theatre, the Palace.
Oh, lovely.
Southend. Fish and chip shop place, right opposite there. So delicious, amazing. The most, because generally they're like, you know, you get your huge stodgy meal and you do it before getting on stage. But I do, I love it.
I do too, I've had tour supports really laugh in my face, photograph me, try and shame me, but I feel nothing but pride.
Nothing, because I hate to be hungry.
Yeah.
I want to be thoughtful. But I went to.
Amazing, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Brilliant. Smash it.
And I went to Margate on tour to do that lovely old theatre.
We know the one, there is only one.
Yeah, the old Margate. The Margate Royal Theatre.
That's it.
Theatre Royal Margate.
Theatre Royal Margate.
Just
we got
the words in the right order. I wanted fish and chips and I was determined, but I was in a hurry.
Yeah,
and so
oh,
I
no.
went to the first fish and chip place.
Oh, no,
had.
There's some real duds in Margate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I deliberately won't name them, but it was it was a very so I think this is the sign. Fish and chips was the fifth cuisine that they served.
Oh, oh no.
It's like an afterthought. They were like, I suppose we're at seaside, we might as well save
this. Oh shit.
It was bad.
Oh, I know exactly the sort of horror you'll be in for.
Yeah.
Yeah, my biggest success story on that front was Aberystwyth, actually. The one opposite the pier. There's a few nice ones along the seafront. I don't know that they've got Duff's, actually, there, because it's so small. But the one opposite the pier is fucking lush. Yeah. Oh, I really like it that you'd happily put fish and chips away just before a gig as well. You're the only other person I've met who's up for that. And they're my most nice and warm.
I've dropped my sushi in my lap.
Oh.
I'm not very good with these.
Chopsticks. I'm sure they can manage to have a fork.
No.
I don't mind if you use your hands.
I might use my hands up for you.
Yeah, cut your hands in. I've just got Rudy into sushi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and actually this summer I was like, this is one of those things I've been waiting for, to be able to do this with you. And he insists on using chopsticks initially, but just sort of just mashes everything into a just a filthy mess that you hope no one's looking at and judging, and then and then fists in once it's already in sort of
like
minced sushi.
Eat it however it works for you.
Yeah, totally. And I think actually you get away with absolute murder like that when it's six. Oh wow!
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yum. Thank you. That's a bonus miso soup. I didn't even know it was coming. Yeah. Is the sushi nice?
So nice.
Oh, good. Oh, that's really yummy.
Grandiosis.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiosis.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I can't remember where you grew up. Leicester. Yes, buddy, Leicester.
Good remembering.
You said earlier, thank you, good remembering. What was eating like for you growing up?
It was very... well, it's weird, isn't it? Because when you're growing up, you
know
what
it
to you.
Of course.
So... here's what I remember of the food we would have. Lunch, whether at school or at home, was cheese sandwich.
Oh, great! Every day.
Yeah.
God, I love finding out stuff like this.
Just cheese sandwich.
And you'd never question that. Now, yeah. Talk to me, was there ever anything else in there? Cucumber, pickle?
Not that I remember, because I was a packed lunch girl as well.
Right.
So, it was. I would say the word for... growing up, the food was simple.
Yeah.
And I still like that. And I'm married to a foodie who
Right. Looks
incredibly complicated, fancy food. And the heat, obviously, in my adult life and then being with him, like introduced me to increasingly complex food.
Right.
But I still come back to when I'm anxious, when I'm in need of comfort, when I'm on my own, simple food.
Great.
And just a cheese sandwich, I think I would have it with like cucumber or something.
Yeah.
But just on its own, butter.
Yeah.
Butter
what sort of bread?
It varied in our house.
Oh, did
brown,
it? Okay.
Brown or white. My mum's quite healthy, so she would have bought brown bread. My dad's more indulgent, and he would have bought white bread.
Some white
and my dad still buys treats now, like desserts and stuff. And my mum's like, oh, less.
Oh, I love it.
Pudding. Me and my dad love like a sponge pudding.
Oh, great.
And breakfast would be normal cereal or sometimes my dad was the fryer in the household, so
right.
Sometimes cook breakfast.
Cook breakfast
as
weekend.
As a teenager, I do remember I hated going in the morning and it would be literally like a Nutri-Grains I left the house. Nutri-Grain played a huge role in my teenage breakfast years.
Culinary
repertoire.
God,
and dinner
that's
was like.
So funny.
My mum's like a good cook.
Yeah.
So it was quite often like a meat and two veg type dinner.
Okay, cool.
But she also did like a lasagna, and then she started cooking curries.
Ooh.
Really nice. As I got a bit older, I don't feel like she did that much.
Yeah.
And she did stir fries and stuff like that. So. Yeah, it was. I was like, we didn't have, for example, I only found out about things like hummus,
yeah,
avocado, mango, like
yeah,
things that are quite definitely seen as very exotic and just not talked about. And neither did any of my friends as well.
The way you said not talked about made me think that, like, well, they were taboo in our house.
Don't mention.
You do not. Did you say the H word? Well, you're under my roof, young lady. We will not say the H word here.
I cannot speak it out loud.
No.
But yeah, I remember, like, when I found out about hummus at uni, I loved it. And
yeah.
I would have, like, a big family pot of hummus for a meal.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God, so many things you've said have really resonated. I think I do what Marcus has done to Steph. I want to like make everything really overcomplicated.
Right.
And like, if it's like, well, all you've got in is some cheese and some bread, then I'll have a cheese sandwich. But I will be a little bit resentful about that. Like, if I'm going to stop and sit down and eat something, I want it to bring me great joy. And I'm so aware that's to my detriment, in the sense that it's like, we've got stressed out about something that was also still going to be delicious.
Yeah.
And actually, in my mind, if I think about a cheese, like just cheddar, and actually I think I really would want like spread rather than butter and like a claggy white bread. Mm. That's a fucking sick. Mm. That's delicious.
It can be just one.
That's a great idea.
I have now got into small pieces, Branson pickle.
Oh, I love it. Small pieces, Branson pickle is an absolute game changer.
It's so good.
It's almost weird that it took them so long to think of that. Frankly, but I like to have an amount that I don't want other people to watch me having. By the way, I did end up getting the amazing popcorn tea if anyone else wants a bit of that.
I do, yes,
yeah,
please.
It's exciting.
Thank you.
Smells it. Try some prawn tempura. I'm going to try prawn tempura and swap you. Oh, wow. Thank you. That's amazing. Thank you very much. Great. Oh, God, I'm excited about this. It's chicken. That's so nice. The batter's so nice. I wonder what is in that tempura dip as well. It's so good, isn't it?
I want it to be thicker.
Do you?
So that I can get more of it on.
But it would be against the rules.
I've got sauce.
Chicken gyoza.
We're just sharing everything.
They're the veggie ones.
Yes.
Great.
And this is sauce for the other, right?
Thank you very much.
Would you like to give me some a small side dish for sharing?
That's a good idea. Yeah. I'm having a really nice time.
It's so nice.
It's so nice. Cheers. Thanks for doing this.
Cheers with the tea.
Cheers.
Does it smell like popcorn?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the taste
of? Wow.
What does it taste like?
You only realise it's green tea at the very end. It's like an afterthought of green tea.
I think it tastes like shredded wheat.
It's a bit shredded wheat tea. Oh, God, I'm really giddy about this. Chicken koyage. It always looks different wherever you have it.
I've got some really like strong breakfast memories. My family, my dad would always have shredded wheat, like sloppy shredded wheat for breakfast. No one else had shredded wheat.
Just him.
I would often have Weetabix, and I love Weetabix now.
Do you?
Do you eat it?
I give Rudy the option of heating it. I don't like a heated Weetabix.
I like a heated Weetabix.
Right.
And then a little bit of brown sugar on the top.
Oh, it's the way to go. I think there needs to be something. Weetabix is one of those things I watch people around me enjoy, and I understand why they're enjoying it, even if it's not how it works out for me. Thank you, amazing. Wow, look at that.
Oh my God, amazing.
Shit, yeah. I've got more edamame as well. Anybody who wants to try, get in the old tri stations.
Is there anything that you think demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way, like in a certain order, or fast or slow?
I'm just thinking of, like, a roast, which is probably one of the most compartmentalised dinners, isn't it? It's like
okay. Everything. Yes, it's true.
And I don't enjoy the mess of a roast.
I was going to say, if you're somebody who likes to have, like, lots of smaller sharing plates so you get all the, to try all the different things, then a roast is like, one, it kind of all tastes of one thing, and it is one plate of...
Like, there's loads on a roast that I like.
Yeah.
Love stuffing.
Yeah.
Love a Yorkshire pudding, and I don't approve of any roast that doesn't have Yorkshire pudding.
No.
Like, again, there's conventions, it's like, and you don't have the Yorkshire pudding of that kind of roast. I'm like, what are you doing on that? You put the best bits on every roast.
You've got one life. Yeah. That I really don't understand. Don't. Why would anyone go, oh, well, do you know
stuffing.
What?
With just have a stuffing bowl. No matter what the meat, even if it's beef, just make some stuff.
Yeah.
But
I couldn't agree more.
But, like, you know, when there's a lot of different sauces and they're all on the same plate, and you've got if you've got curry cheese, it's going into the gravy.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'm not a fan of, like, red sauce or cranberry, really. There's just too much going on. There's too many different things going on.
Bread sauce as well is, I mean, that blows my mind. That's liquid. That's liquid bread. That's really.
Did it come from the war?
Presumably. I mean, it fucking tastes like it did. It's one of those things where if somebody likes it, and I do know loads of people who like it, and you go, it does feel like, are you alright?
Yeah.
Like, how hungry are you for that to be the thing you're craving?
But people who have otherwise, like, quite sophisticated tastes in food, like, oh, I love bread sauce. It's like, do you?
Oh!
That's what you feed a hedgehog in the garden. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's what you'd give an orphan in the olden days.
It's gruel.
It's gruel!
Call it what it is.
Yeah. It's worse than gruel, isn't it?
Gruel with your turkey.
Yeah, do you want gelatinous gruel?
Yeah.
With your nice tasting food.
It gets thicker, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It becomes a paste.
Yeah. It becomes corn flour and hair.
Quick fire questions.
What's the weirdest thing you ever ate?
Literally all I can think of is swordfish, which isn't weird at all.
It's quite weird.
It's just sort of a fish, isn't it?
No, but it is a weird fish, and it's got sword in the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like all sea food is quite odd.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen an anglerfish?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck me. My God, yeah.
I know they're normalised. Mussels,
Bivalves.
Really weird.
Fucking weird, yeah. Bloody delicious though, with garlic and cream. Oyster. No, you've done a face. I wish you could see her. I wish you could hear Rachel's face. Okay. What's the most futuristic thing you've ever eaten?
I've had sweets that are Japanese that you make yourself. So they send you in the post like sachets of powder, and then you make up the liquid, and then they send you in molds. My stepdaughter made them actually.
Love it.
As well as first had a stepdaughter, and yes, she made them. They're like they go into like little tiny burgers.
Oh, amazing! And you make like pretend that. Food,
yeah.
And you can get kits to make your own ones. Yeah. Oh my God, that is the future because I'm going to look them up for Rudy's birthday. Yeah. He loves pretend that sweets that look like burgers and pizzas and stuff.
Yeah.
He will ask to go back to like an arcade where you collect tokens again and again and again for like 3 years to get like 9,000 tokens so that you can buy one sweetie pizza.
It's nice just learning about perseverance.
Yeah, perseverance and wasting money. What's the worst thing you've ever found in something that you're eating?
Some traditional ones, I found a worm and an apple.
Have you? God, lovely to hear that happens IRL.
Oh, I know. This was a deal breaker in a flat. I was very happy in a flat. It was a bit messy, dirty. And I'm quite messy. I was having cereal. And there were, I poured the cereal out, and I went to have the spoon. I can't remember if I'd had a spoon already. And there were like...
Oh.
And it was like, I'm latching
fuck.
My head.
Yeah, maggots are the worst thing you can find in something. That's the best answer ever. I had opened a box of Dorset cereals, muesli, which is posh, at my ex aunt-in-law.
Yeah.
One Christmas, and I hadn't realised it was a decade out of date. And actually, it didn't have maggots in, but it tasted of, like, bleach. Something had gone, like, I don't know if the plastic, like, bag had permeated the dried fruits in there or something, but it was like, it tasted like, my mouth was like, danger, danger. Like, yeah. I had to gob it out. I couldn't swallow it. I was like, whoa. Okay, 5 second rule, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
Very lax about that. 10 second rule, 20 second rule.
10 year rule. 10 year rule. It was for me with the Dorset series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Depends what state your floor's in.
That's a really fair. It's an absolutely valid caveat.
Generally, definitely 5 seconds. If the floor's been cleaned in the last like few days,
perfect.
Then I'm like, no.
Who needs plates?
Yeah.
Love it. No other option. Would you eat a person?
Yes.
Great. But just be a little bit fussy about how they're presented and what you can see.
Yeah.
I want them lean.
Now it's time for the Big Ben question.
One night the sun doesn't set. It stays liquid and starts pouring molten lava rain down on us earthlings. And sure, it might be pretty. And yeah, shepherds are inexplicably delighted. But for fuck's sake, most of us are really miserable because it's deadly smolting death. Hashtag Pompeii 2 apocalypse. Luckily, the sun has agreed to reset, but only a few. And weirdly, it does have to be you, Rachel, personally handpick every bit of plastic out of the sea with just a snorkel, no breaks, and all the while humming Simply Red's Holding Back the Years, so that no one can sneak you any sustenance down your snorkel spout. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. You're the woman who saved us all from a lava sky apocalypse. Your award is obviously the adulation of all people for all time, the status of deity, but your award in the moment, and bearing in mind you are the happiest and hungriest you've ever been, it's the opposite of a last meal, it's a feast of your dreams. If you were the happiest and hungriest you've ever been, and nothing had any consequences, I couldn't give a fuck about health, any of that shit, what would be your dream thing to eat and to drink? And if there's a who, with, and where, you can have a who, with, and where.
It would be spaghetti carbonara.
Oh.
Crispy bits of bacon. You know, sometimes it's like really crispy little crumb bits of bacon.
Yeah.
So no chewing, like, not overly creamy, like proper, like made with like the egg.
Yeah, yeah. Fancy. Chefy.
Proper fancy
Italian. Yeah.
I would have lemon meringue pie. Lemon meringue pie. For dessert.
Yeah.
A lot of meringue, like twice as much meringue.
Quite high. And on a lemon, it's quite like, it's like soft, isn't it, the meringue on there, with like burnt looking peaks.
Yeah,
how lemony is the lemon bit for you?
Very lemony, but not like, there's no actual bits of lemon in it that make you go...
Oh, texture, the flavour of lemon, but none of the texture. Really, you don't want to taste any...
Buttery biscuit base.
I
have it with
rosé. Dry rosé.
I suppose I have it with my husband.
That's nice.
If I said someone else.
I'm sure he'd be all right if you were like, it's Martin Luther King again.
Oh yeah, I could say that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a relaxing conversation.
No.
If you're a famous person that you admired, you'd have to think about what you said.
Yeah. And for all we know, Martin Luther King might have eaten like a pig.
Yeah.
Might be sat there and you'd be like, wow, God, that's literally ruining my bloody carbonara, Martin.
You got some mums.
No, you won't say. Lovely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you led.
Hoovering Podcast.
What a gorgeous, lovely episode, please. What a way to see in my swanky new business of an upgraded, relaunched podcast.
You can shortly go and see Rachel at her absolute pinnacle. She is the most insanely talented improviser, and she is in Ostentatious, which is on in London's West End at the Arts Theatre from the 7th of November till the 19th of December. It's Jane Austen reimagined by Rachel and some of the other best improvisers of a whole generation, I would say. Follow her on social media at Rachel Paris. I'm sure you're already following her, but it's Paris with two R's if you're about to look her up now. Do it, do it. Also, come see me on tour, please, from now still to the end of November. Tickets for that are available on my website, jessicafosterq.com. And because Wench, which is the name of the show, sold out the great big Leicester Square Theatre, I'm putting on some extra shows from the 11th to the 14th of January at Soho Theatre. Tickets for that also available on my website.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Foster Q. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Foster Q. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.